We're here on ADKT 560, which is an ADKT that Justice Gibbons and I filed to address the issue of stayed civil cases and 41E. As everyone on this call probably knows, in response to the pandemic and the emergency directives from the governor, stays were imposed on all trials in district courts, and the orders included standard, the administrative orders included standard language that we came up with to treat the stay order as you would a bankruptcy stay in 41E context, which is to say the clock stops running during the period of the emergency stay. And most of the courts adopted the standard form of order that a committee comprising Chief Judge Bell, Jim Wilson, and Kathleen Draklich and I came up with. So it's fairly uniform across the state, and the language is included in the petition. It says this emergency stay suspends, is a tolling under 41E, but it expires when the emergency ends 30 days thereafter. It strikes me and my colleagues that we need to prepare for the situation when the stays are lifted and cases are back ready to go to trial. And there is a problem in that criminal cases have been stayed as well as civil, and criminal cases will likely have priority as we return to jury trials and trials at all. I know that some are being conducted virtually, but by and large, this is a problem that cuts across the state and I think needs a uniform, rule-based response. I convened a committee, and I am very grateful to the people who served on it with me, and I want to acknowledge them on the record. Justice Gibbons, myself, Robert Eisenberg, Graham Galloway, Steve Morris, Dan Polzenberg, and Don Springer and I worked on this with the assistance of a lawyer in our central legal staff to find out what courts elsewhere have in this setting to address this kind of problem. And I will say I was surprised to learn that most states no longer have a mandatory outside meet it or die kind of rule like 41E, and they have fallen into disuse over time with the advent of earlier, stronger case management. So that absolute bar endures in Nevada and then in California by statute. We found, though, in the 50-state survey is attached, that most are looking at an earlier intervention and a dismissal for non-prosecution, but not an absolute cutoff. And our rule has that in it, but we've always had the outside cutoff. And I think in some respects, an argument can be made that 5 years is much too long for a case to come to trial, and that the absolute cutoff almost creates an expectation that 5 years is somehow reasonable, 4 years is good. And really, we should, if we weren't in the COVID situation, be endeavoring to get these cases through earlier. What we came up with is attached to the petition, and it's offered as a discussion draft for your consideration. And I really am grateful to those of you who've written and called in today, because there isn't a perfect solution to any of this. But a uniform one is important and a predictable one. The one we came up with is a draft that would put Nevada in line with most of the other states and essentially with federal rule 41B, where you have dismissal for non-prosecution, but it's on motion. And you have the district court judges tracking their case calendars. This is not in the rule, but they do. They know how many cases are over age, and they can set their parameters and manage them in that fashion. An alternative, if people want to keep the five-year rule, we included the California provision, which makes by statute a provision for it has something that excuses the failure to bring the case to trial when it was impossible, impracticable, or futile. Nevada does not have that. It has never had it. And when lawyers tried to argue it back in the 1960s, the Supreme Court of our state said, no, we don't have that language. We're not adopting it. It's a hard and fast rule. But if we're not going to repeal 41E altogether, this is an alternative. And coupled with it is a time frame that provides for what happens when the stay expires and adds 6 months to the expiration of the stay to bring a case to trial. I don't think if we did this that that is realistic for getting cases that are accumulating on the five-year rule during the pandemic back to trial. I don't think that's realistic. We would have to canvass the district courts and get a sense of that if that's the direction where the committee goes. So we've got comments from, and I want to acknowledge them, Paul Hemanowski, and his position is that 41E should remain as written and provides a useful discipline on getting cases to trial, and it's fair to defendants who otherwise would have these linger on their record and reporting requirements and so on. I got a letter from Valiente Mott supporting the repeal of it and the board's proposal, an email from James Shapiro opposing it, pretty much in the line of Paul Hemanowski's comment. One from, let me see, Southern Nevada Legal Aid Center that favored essentially the California approach, but as I read the letter, recognized that it could be too short, the 6 month provision in the California model. So what I wanted to do today was open up for everybody's consideration and thoughts. This is very much an open process, and hear from the lawyers who are on the call and my colleagues who are on the bench in this and get your views about what best to do. The one thing I do think is we need to do something, because when these stays expire, people need predictability and not the gamesmanship. One other aspect, and I neglected to add it or put it in the petition, is that I am concerned when I see cases, many of the 41E cases that we see have an element of gamesmanship in them, where somebody stipulates, I'll grant you a continuance of your trial, and it takes it past the five-year rule, and the person on the other side of that stipulation doesn't know that you have to expressly waive the five-year rule, and then we end up with arguments over whether there was sharp practice and unfairness. Our case law quite clearly says if you're going to have a stipulation, it needs to expressly waive the five-year rule. But that's the main kind of concern I have with the existing rule, in addition to that it sets an outside date that, to my mind, is way longer than it should be, but because it's mandatory, it's out there, and it's created an expectation that 5 years is, you know, old age, but four isn't, and I'm not sure that's a healthy expectation. So, Justice Gibbons, do you have anything to add?
Chief, briefly, again, the subcommittee, you mentioned the names of everybody, unanimously made this recommendation here, so it had attorneys for both plaintiffs and defense attorneys represented there, and for the reasons I think you enumerated here, I'd like to hear from the attorneys. My only comment is the chief and I were involved with the committee to amend the Nevada Rules of Civil Procedure, and in that we have some enhanced case management mechanisms. You know, early conferences with the court are required and different things. So if the courts the district courts enforce those rules, then the cases should be managed and get them resolved well before this five-year deadline. If we were going to do this and suspend it or adopt the California model, it should not be an excuse for not enforcing the case management that's required under the Nevada Rules of Civil Procedure. Chief, other than that, I was just interested in the comments from my colleagues and the attorneys that are here present today as well.
Thank you. What I'd like to do is, I don't have a sign-in sheet, so I don't know who wants to speak or be heard. And so if you could raise your hand, or if you're on the phone, I guess state your name, and we'll endeavor to make this run smoothly. Does anyone wish to be heard on this proposal?
This is one without, and if I can, I would like to say something.
Thank you. Please go ahead, Judge Bell.
So I would support the amendment as proposed, eliminating the five-year rule. First of all, I'm extraordinarily concerned about our ability to get these cases tried, given the backlog of criminal cases. We have 1,300 criminal jury trials set in the next 120 days. And so I'm really worried about how that's going to work in terms of trying to sit in civil trials. And I think it's going to take us a little bit to get through that backlog of criminal cases. Additionally, I agree with Chief Justice Pickering that the five-year rule really becomes the norm. It is very common in handling civil trials that the lawyers will come in and say, well, I haven't hit the five-year rule yet, and they forget that there's a two-year rule that should be really what we're reaching for. And I think, at least in Clark County, that it has become a culture where as long as you get your case tried within the 5 years, that it really isn't a problem at all. I also believe it's a bit of a trap if the lawyers agree to waive the five-year rule, then the case can be as old as it can be, while if the lawyers are not getting along well, then there can be pretty significant problems with gamesmanship with respect to the five-year rule. Finally, you know, we have case management systems that allow us to see what cases are old. We report twice a year the cases that are in excess of 36 and 48 months. So I am not sure what the benefit of having a rule that could so substantially impact the rights of the parties really does for us.
Thank you very much, Chief Judge Bell. I saw Robert Murdoch's hand up earlier.
Thank you, Judge. You know, one of my concerns is I'm in favor of scrapping the five-year rule. One of my concerns, though, is are we going to have something in the advisory notes where we would have some kind of like Scrimer analysis where we have good cause before the 2 years and then excusable neglect or something like that after the 2 years? Because what I foresee happening is in virtually every case now that goes about 2 years, we're going to see a motion right after the 2 year date to dismiss the case by the defense, the plaintiff lawyer. If we can avoid that by allowing plaintiffs to file or giving some incentive, such as good cause, before 2 years, I think that would be a little bit more helpful and predictable. But anyway, thank you, Judge.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to be heard? Mr. Hemanowski. You're showing as muted. I don't know how to fix that.
I have new equipment, and I'm still trying to figure out how the heck it works. It seems to me
from the discussion, there are really two different issues that you're addressing here, one of which would be whether or not to suspend Rule 41E for the duration of COVID and a workout period of time afterwards. That's really a separate issue from whether to junk the rule. My concern, as I expressed in my comments, is without the bright line of the rule, we're going to wind up with as many different interpretations as we have district judges. They'll be inconsistent across departments. They'll be inconsistent within departments. And the predictability that the rule provides now is going to be thrown out with the bathwater.
Chief, this is Justice Stiglitz. May I weigh in?
Yes, please.
I share the last gentleman's comments. I feel in some ways this is a solution in search of a problem. I think the five-year drop dead is good. It's good to have a drop dead at some point. Judges need to manage their caseload. Lawyers need to manage their caseload. And I think that the danger that we're trying to avoid can be achieved by either the prior speaker's suggestion, you know, perhaps extending that kind of COVID tolling or of our previous order without doing any violence to the existing rules. So those are just my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to be heard? Mr. Goetz?
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice, Associate Justice. My name is Peter Goetz. I'm an attorney with the Consumer Protection Unit of the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada. I just want to talk about two types of cases that we see all the time that this rule would really have an impact on. One of those are the ones that we see the most with self-represented litigants, and that's where they get sued by a creditor, and because they're unfamiliar with the litigation process, the self-represented litigants don't know what to do next. And the creditor also doesn't prosecute the case, doesn't reach out to the consumer, and the case lingers until one of those reports that Chief Judge Bell was talking about gets run, and the case is brought to a conclusion through dismissal. And that five-year rule has helped a lot of the individuals that we see through our self-help center and through our office. The second type of case is in class actions that we've been involved in. The rule has served to really move the case along. We do see the five-year rule as sort of a way for the parties to expand the time up to that 5 years, and that is a huge concern. I think, Chief Justice, you pointed out that maybe it should be shorter. And, of course, for our consumers and the people that we serve, shorter time to disposition would be great for all of our consumers that we represent. But in class actions, when we're asking for class relief, sometimes the longer a case is pushed out into the future, the less meaningful relief is for them. For example, we may ask for judgments to be vacated because a creditor or somebody else might have gotten a bunch of judgments against hundreds of consumers on bad interpretations of the law. And if a case drags out without a clear deadline, such as the five-year rule, to bring a case to trial, then asking the district court to vacate these judgments as a remedy is less impactful for these class members, just as an operation of time. So as we pointed out in our letter, we do think that keeping the five-year rule serves an important purpose of case management, and we recognize the hard work that the committee in revising the rules put into changes to all the rules, especially Rule 16, which I think we're just coming to learn that that more hands-on approach by the district court judges at these Rule 16 conferences will hopefully down in the future make time to disposition much quicker than the 5 years. But we also recognize that in the crazy times we live in right now, that flexibility needs to exist, and whether it's like Justice Stiglitz said, just continuing to stay in place to toll these deadlines or to amend the rule so the district courts can be more flexible in the future by extending the time in which a litigant has to bring a case to trial for periods when it was impossible, impractical, or futile, we think would best serve at least the litigants that we represent and we see through our office. And I think, Chief Justice, you recognize that the six-month provision in the California rule probably won't work for us. We should consider a longer time, perhaps a year, and that would be our suggestion. And we thank you for the opportunity to provide comments.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate your written comments as well.
Chief, if I may, Perry Gary here in Carson City.
Yes.
You know, I just wanted to mention Chief Judge Bell and I had a conversation last week talking about the problem getting these cases resolved, and the backlog of the criminal cases in particular over the next 120 days is significant. And we discussed using the senior judges in a way that would facilitate the resolution of some of those criminal cases. And then we got to talking about, you know, how this is going to impact the civil caseload. And it's significant. So my focus right now is on this COVID-related delays and what's going to happen in the coming months. And so in that regard, as Chief Judge Bell and I were discussing it, the real problem is going to be those jury cases and trying to pick juries, because we have the resources. The senior judge program provides to all the practitioners, all the members of the bench, a resource that we can use, and the problem is trying to pick juries. And so that's where you're going to hit a delay that I'm not sure what it's going to look like 6 months, a year from now, but I think we need to have that flexibility with 41E to address that. And I think what's been suggested in treating this like a bankruptcy stay and then revisiting it periodically is what's going to have to happen. And I don't favor at this point doing anything, any wholesale amendment to the rule. I want to get through this COVID crisis and then perhaps take a look at it. But right now, that's my focus.
Is there anyone else who wishes to be heard? Please speak if you do, because I can't see those on the phone.
Chief, this is Justice Kadish.
Thank you.
I'm glad we've had this hearing to sort of talk through the issues on both sides. And I suppose ultimately I agree with those who have noted that there were, I guess, you know, two separate issues. One is how to deal with the immediate looming trials in light of the shutdown we've dealt with during the pandemic. Separate from the long-term question about whether we should have a five-year rule as it has been in place in Nevada or not. I think everyone can agree that there needs to be accommodation for the current situation because in line with the orders previously entered, although apparently a longer time will be needed, because once the stay is lifted, as several have noted, we'll need to get those criminal cases done as a priority matter. But it seems that we could address that by with either an additional administrative order or maybe some kind of, I don't know, amendment to the rule that maybe would address that sort of unusual circumstance. In terms of the bigger picture rule, I also, excuse me, from my time as a district judge, I have seen times when the five-year rule gets unfortunately becomes the subject of perhaps unfair gamesmanship, and obviously I'm not in favor of that, but I am mindful of the concerns with having some outside deadline to make sure cases do get tried and don't linger indefinitely. At this point, I'm thinking that the California-type provision may be a good intermediate step, but I'm still interested in having further conversations about that. But I think as far as the more immediate issue, I think probably all of us could get on the same page for some accommodation to deal with the impending backlog of trials and how we're going to even deal with picking juries in this environment. But that's going beyond the scope of today's hearing. But those are sort of just my initial thoughts as we're talking through these issues today.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to be heard?
This is Justice Hardesty.
Thank you.
I subscribe to the views expressed by Justice Stiglitz, Justice Perry-Gary, and now Justice Kadish. And I think Mr. Hemanowski has hit it on the mark as well. These are two separate questions. And I think as to the first question, as Justice Kadish just noted, this is a fairly obvious step that the judiciary needs to take in order to assure that people's trial rights that were interrupted or unfairly detained because of the shutdown are protected. But I am concerned with respect to the broader picture, and I offer these additional comments. I don't mean to be repetitive. But there are numerous examples throughout our districts where the use of the two-year discretionary portion of the rule has been limited or non-existent. There are numerous examples throughout all of our districts where we are already woefully behind in statutory mandated required trials, such as medical malpractice cases. There are also numerous examples where we have seen appeals raising questions about the perpetuation of trials in criminal cases that are delayed when this, notwithstanding the implication of the 60-day rule. There are numerous examples in the construction defect area where cases were at least significantly delayed for discovery and for compliance with the Chapter 40 requirements. My point in all of this is that before we undertake a broad sweeping change to Rule 41E, which frankly has been the only thing that has caused people to ultimately focus on their case, I think that it is important that we take into consideration the condition of the civil caseload generally throughout the state. And notwithstanding the efforts that have been made by the Chief and the Associate Chief Justice and their committee in revising the rules, those rules have only been amended and in place for a relatively short period of time. They do call for the implementation of civil justice case management by district court judges. But quite frankly, I don't know about the rest of you, but for most of my law practice, judges have not been too interested in managing cases. They've allowed the lawyers to manage cases. And I believe that throughout numerous studies, including the most recent study conducted by the Conference of Chief Justices, that they have made clear that the public judicial system is one that needs to be managed by the judges in order to assure a fair, timely adjudication of these cases. And lastly, it's been my experience that over 95% of these cases settle, but they only settle when there is a certain trial date or a certain endpoint. And I believe that it is absolutely critical that as the Supreme Court is responsibility or exercising its responsibilities, we focus on the one thing that causes most cases to resolve, and that is the establishment of swift and certain trial dates that are adhered to so that people, absent good cause, will focus on those matters that bring that case to a conclusion. We have talked before about even advancing the date earlier than 5 years, but I think the perceived draconian outcome is something that has prevented that from happening. Perhaps if judges were in a position to exercise the kinds of case management expectations that are called for in the new rules of civil procedure, people would feel differently about a rule that calls a halt to the process. There was one other comment that we received, and Chief, you may have announced it, I didn't hear it, so I'm not suggesting you didn't, but I wanted to mention the comment by Timothy Mott of Valenti and Mott, and the point that's made there is that 41E seems to be advantageous or place responsibility solely on the plaintiff. It's a fair point. Both parties, while the plaintiff has the burden of proof and the burden of persuasion, it seems to me that both parties have the duty to make sure that the case is prosecuted timely. But ultimately, in order to make that happen and to assure that it occurs, it's the trial judge's responsibility. And that's a cultural change, I think, that we have to look at in our state among our district court judges. Thank you, Chief. Those are my remarks.
Thank you. Does anyone wish to be heard who hasn't yet spoken or who wishes to add to their prior remarks? I think the problem's going to come with moving out of this emergency, because when you open it up, you're going to be on expired deadlines, and that can't be done by AO. We can't suspend the rule indefinitely. So something has to happen, in my mind. Probably, if there's not an appetite for the straight-out repeal, something along the lines of the California model with input on the length of time, because it would be terribly unfair to people who've been stayed to bring their cases to trial and then prevented because other cases are ahead of them in the queue from getting their cases to trial and then face an absolute bar. That would not be fair. And we have to address that uniformly across the state, in my estimation. But I appreciate everybody's comments, and I understand the concern and case management issues involved. So I would like to reopen for another period of 14 days, ideas on a uniform provision that could address this and the unfairness that I see to people who have not been able to bring their cases to trial. And that number will grow as the time passes. And with the peak in the COVID that we're experiencing in Las Vegas, I'm very concerned about that continuing to mount and what that means to people with claims. So if the clerk could, and we will do this by written order, the clerk's in Carson, I'm in Las Vegas, but we'll set a date for any further written comments on ideas about how to navigate out of this beyond those we've submitted. I'm not throwing in the towel on this, but I think we need some more ideas here. And we have really good lawyers on this. We had really good lawyers on the panel. But this is a practical problem, and I think we need to address it. So, Madam Clerk in Carson City, if you could put an order that would open the written period and then post notice of it, I want to thank everyone so much for their comments and their input. We're better when we hear from everyone and get all points of view than we are flying solo. And if there's been one silver lining in this COVID cloud, it has been the extent to which everybody across the state has tried to help and figure out solutions to the problems we're all facing. So thank you. And unless there's further comments or someone I've not recognized, this meeting will be adjourned.